Yes, this is the Breaking Free with MJ podcast. Welcome back. And it's been a minute since I did a podcast, but I've been busy. I've been busy truth digging. And I've dug up a whole bunch of truth that was right in front of our eyes the whole time. And I want to share that truth with you today. And the headline that I'm working from today, just for a little context, is Bombshell, the Smoking Gun Epstein Timeline that proves a massive system-wide government cover-up to protect the people in power and their friends. Yes, massive. We're talking mass-scale cover-up. And that bombshell evidence comes in the form of a timeline. Now, that may not sound adventurous and exciting. It might not even sound entertaining and amusing like the circus does. But I'm here to tell you that this timeline basically tells you everything you ever need to know about how the government on both sides and their international influencer friends have concealed heinous crimes and protected powerful people from prosecution and prison. There is just no way that you can impeach this case, because what I'm about to read you are simply just dates and milestones that are easily verifiable on both government and media resources. Not pulling out anything out of left field. I'm not doing a bunch of speculation or conspiracy theories or rabbit holes or nothing like that. I'm just going to read you the timeline of what happened. And I'm going to leave it up to you. I have a couple notes in here, but I'll leave it up to you. After hearing this timeline, if you can still say, nah, I don't think they're protecting pedophiles, well, I would say you had made a very narrow escape from reality. I don't know how you could ever walk away from this timeline and think that. But at any rate, again, this is Breaking Free with MJ podcast. It's on the streaming platforms. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can also check my articles on breadandcircus.news, as well as the Bread and Circus page on Facebook, as well as the Are You Awake page. Let's get into it. Let's get into the timeline. The explosive, highly combustible timeline that speaks volumes about what actually has happened. November 2018, the Epstein case explodes when the Miami Herald publishes an explosive article exposing how Epstein got a sweetheart deal in Florida, how he only served time in county jail, how his victims weren't notified, how he committed his crimes across state lines, and how the federal government failed to prosecute him along with all of his accomplices. In response to this explosive story from the Miami Herald in November of 2018, there was massive public outcry and congressional threats from both sides of the aisle. Next, and this is huge, only 2 weeks after the Miami Herald bomb, Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump's attorney general at the time, it's only 2 weeks after the Miami Herald story breaks, 2 weeks later, Jeff Sessions suddenly announces that he is resigning from being Trump's Department of Justice attorney general. Out of nowhere. And if y'all remember when this happened, we were like, what? Why is he leaving? I thought he was going to unseal thousands of indictments. Do you remember that? Q, all these different sources were saying, Jeff Sessions is our guy. He's the big truth revealer. He's going to unseal thousands of indictments against the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, the whole gang, they're all going to prison. Obama, Clinton, they're all going to prison. The indictments are going to fly. Jeff Sessions is the guy that's going to do it. Now, suddenly he's resigning. 2 weeks after the Miami Herald story. He's out. This is inexplicable. No one understands why he's suddenly leaving. Trump claims it's because Sessions won't prosecute the Russia Democrat hoax. You see, Trump promised that Sessions was going to prosecute the Democrats, that he was going to investigate the Democrats for the Russia hoax, and he was going to put them all behind bars. Trump promised that. Sessions had not done that. So Trump is now saying Sessions has got to go, although he didn't say this overtly. He's basically saying Sessions has to go because he hasn't prosecuted Russia Democrat hoax. And then Donald Trump takes to Twitter to thank Jeff Sessions for his service, basically saying he's a great guy. We love him. Hey, you know, best of luck on your journey, Jeff, while Jeff resigns inexplicably from the attorney general position only a year and a half into office. We now know why. It's a coming. Wait for it. Only 2 weeks after Jeff Sessions resigns, Trump nominates William Barr to be his new Department of Justice Attorney General. Many justice watchdogs explode and demand that Trump withdraw the Bill Barr nomination because Bill Barr worked for the law firm that represented Jeffrey Epstein for Epstein's Florida sweetheart deal. If ever there was a conflict of interest, that was it. And yet, anybody who questioned the president's appointment of Barr on the basis that he had a conflict of interest was dismissed as a leftist lunatic with TDS, and that was fake news. You couldn't argue. You couldn't debate it. You couldn't even talk about it. They immediately said, fake news, fake news, fake news, even though it was not fake news. It was real news. It was the truth. Bill Barr had a massive conflict of interest. In February of 2019, Bill Barr takes office as the new attorney general. And unbeknownst to the world, Barr quickly gets to work investigating Jeffrey Epstein. Now remember, just 2 months ago, Miami Herald has blown this massive story up and exposed how the government gave Epstein this sweetheart deal. Now, Barr is on the job as the attorney general. And unbeknownst to the world, Barr quickly gets to work investigating Epstein. And for the next 5 months, Bill Barr, we know now, we didn't know it then, but we know it now, Bill Barr and his DOJ team evidently worked around the clock not to fully investigate Epstein and all of his co-conspirators and bring them to justice, but to build a highly selective straw case against Epstein that would sort of hold Epstein accountable, but more importantly, at the same time, protect all of the other people that were involved in his crimes. That's why it took him 5 months to build the case. 5 months later, much to the surprise of the public, Jeffrey Epstein is suddenly arrested at a New Jersey airport. The public didn't even know that he was under investigation by the federal government. At the time, William Barr says, justice will be served, and that he will pursue the harshest punishment against Epstein. Of course, Trump, on his part, has been totally silent for the last 5 months on this topic. When have you ever known Donald Trump to be silent about something? Well, he was silent about Bill Barr's investigation of Epstein, and he was silent about Epstein's arrest also. So at this time, while this is happening, multiple news agencies, including Time Magazine specifically, report that William Barr is compromised and he should recuse himself from the Epstein investigation because, again, he worked at the law firm that represented Epstein in 2008 when Epstein was given the sweetheart deal. Same with Alex Acosta, who was the attorney general in Florida at the time of the Epstein arrest in 2008 and was now also on Trump's DOJ investigative team. We're talking about massive conflicts of interest here. If there was anyone in the world that should not be investigating Epstein, it was Bill Barr and Alex Acosta. Yet, They forge ahead with these two. Media outlets are saying this is a total conflict of interest. Anybody who objects to it is, again, tarred and feathered as a radical leftist lunatic with TDS and called fake news. Are you sensing a pattern here? 35 days after being arrested, before the discovery phase of the Epstein case can even start, Epstein suddenly kills himself in a high-security federal building, or so we're told. At the time, Barr says he's shocked, and that when he called the president, "Hey, Mr. President, it's Bill Barr, your AG. Hey, I've got some really bad news, and you're going to want to sit down for this, sir. It turns out that your old friend Jeffrey Epstein killed himself." And he says that the president responded, "How the hell was that even possible? He was in federal custody." Yeah. How the hell was that possible when he was in federal custody in a high security federal detention center with surveillance cameras everywhere and guards, just the place swarming with guards? Yeah, how is that possible, Don? That's interesting. Then again, this was no ordinary federal government case, as we would soon learn. Bill Barr then feigns outrage to the public when he learns that the guards didn't even check up on Epstein, and that Epstein was able to kill himself in a heavy surveillance federal custody. Barr also claims that he will do a deep investigation into the death of Epstein, but he never does. In fact, recordings are erased or altered and not even produced for the public. It is one of the most ridiculous non-investigations ever, yet Barr continues to beat the justice has been served drum, and anyone who disagrees with Barr's narrative is called fake news. Are you getting the pattern here? A full year later, Maxwell, this is in 2020 now, Maxwell is finally brought up on charges. It took a whole year from the time that Epstein was brought up on charges, actually over a year. So if you're asking the question, what were they doing for a year? That's a good question that you should be asking. You're in your right mind if you're asking that question. The highest probability scenario is that they already knew all the crimes Maxwell committed. They weren't investigating Maxwell, because let's face it, they had been investigating Epstein for 5 months. And prior to that, they had been investigating him for years. Matter of fact, they have millions, and I mean millions of files and depositions from Epstein. They know everything Maxwell has done. They're not investigating Maxwell over that year. You know what I think they were doing? I think they were extending her grace to get her affairs in order, because she was radioactive, because she had knowledge that could take them down. And she had them by the you know what. That's why I think it took a year. Then in 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, Maxwell is indicted and prosecuted and sentenced. It's actually a relatively quiet affair. No one really even pays attention to it because of the pandemic frenzy. In fact, most people who had been tracking the case, they're just glad that there's finally been some closure. Because it turns out that most people don't pursue truth. They pursue a convenient boogeyman, a prosecution, and closure. Everybody wants to get closure at the expense of justice and truth. Maxwell then goes to prison. In January 2026, present day, Trump nominates, 25, January 25, Donald Trump nominates Pam Bondi, a Florida friend who was highly connected to Alex Acosta in Florida and many other people involved in Epstein's previous case, and who, as former Attorney General of Florida herself, refused to reopen the Epstein case when she had the chance. What a convenient pick for the next AG. The public then demands that Bondi release the Epstein files. She promises. She goes back on her promises. She waffles. She appears to be completely overwhelmed by it all. The administration only leaks little parts of it that don't really reveal anything, hoping that the problem will go away. And fortunately, it doesn't. And the administration becomes more and more angry and desperate to make it go away. And by the way, this is not a plan that's being executed. There's no 5D chess here. This is the net closing on these people. This is the walls caving in on them. And they are becoming increasingly desperate and terrified that the truth is going to get out. So under immense pressure from both sides of the aisle, in July of 2025, Trump announces that he wants to get to the bottom of the Epstein case. After calling it a Democrat hoax, all these other things he's calling it, now he says he's going to get to the bottom of it. He's going to get justice for those victims, you betcha. And he's going to bring those Democrats up on charges because, according to him, it's only Democrats that did dirty stuff with Epstein. Now, Trump's the guy who's going to go in there, and he says he's going to do this by sending Todd Blanche, who is the assistant attorney general under Pam Bondi, and coincidentally, Trump's former defense attorney, his former personal defense attorney, he's going to send old Todd Blanche and his DOJ partners to see Ghislaine Maxwell in prison and get the facts from her about the case. Yeah, they're going to get the facts. And, oh, by the way, they're going to record it as well. So, you know, it's in the interest of complete transparency. Of course. Yeah, we know. Because it's the most transparent administration ever in the history of American presidency. Yeah, we get it. Yeah, so transparent, right? For the record, again, the facts had already been obtained many times. They literally had millions of facts and testimony from Maxwell herself. They weren't going to get the facts from Maxwell. They were most likely going to hold a faux interview and at the same time make some sort of deal with her. And that is why I suppose we didn't get to see the video. We only got to see hear the audio. There's no telling what was passed between them during that talk, but we won't know because it wasn't video recorded as far as we know. Shockingly, later that month, shortly after Todd Blanche met with Maxwell, she is transferred to a low-security prison in Texas, of all places, where she is actually given work release. One of the most prolific sex trafficker groomers and recruiters in history is sent to a low-security prison and given work release. Again, the public is outraged. Again, the justice watchdogs explode. The news agencies say this is wrong, this is unjust. They ask the administration, why was she transferred to a low security prison? Why is she being shown favoritism? They said, oh, we have no idea. Our hands are washed. This is a matter of the Department of Corrections. This is just an administrative matter. Really? This is just an administrative matter? Really? Is that what it is? Do you believe that? Do you believe that all this was an administration matter? Man, you'd have to be naive. But there are a lot of naive people. So there's that. Meanwhile, Pam Bondi's DOJ is waffling and waffling and waffling on the Epstein files. As behind the scenes, they're working day and night for 13 months straight to remove any instance of any powerful figures that could lead to the public demanding further investigation. One can only imagine the effort that went into sanitizing these files before they finally dump them. And inevitably, they've made some mistakes. We still haven't seen everything that's in them because there's 3 million of them. And they've already pulled back several that were just kind of extra, extra nasty and implicated one certain somebody, if you know what I mean. If you're catching my drift. On December 7th of 2025, Maxwell filed, this is huge. Maxwell files a writ of habeas corpus demanding that her sentence be completely vacated. This is just last month. She wants her sentence completely vacated on what grounds? That 25 criminal child molesters made sweetheart deals with the DOJ along with four co-conspirators. And in both cases, they made these deals so they could avoid prison time. So her reasoning is, well, they got sweetheart deals and I didn't. I want my sweetheart deal. That's what she's saying with her habeas corpus request. And it's pending as of right now. And by the way, it is assumed that these deals she's alluding to were made under Trump and Bill Barr. Again, with 25 implicated criminals and 4 co-conspirators. And by the way, in the latest dump, one of the allegations say that at least one of Epstein's co-conspirators is 100 times worse than him. 100 times worse. Can you only imagine even being 2 times worse than Epstein? 100 times worse. What are we talking about here? Better yet, who are we talking about here? And why must we feel like enemies of the state if we are simply asking these questions? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Unless there's a massive cover-up. That's the only way the hatred of those who are trying to get to the bottom of this makes any sense, is if there's a massive cover-up. Otherwise, why would they hate us for asking questions? Why would they accuse us of being traitors to our country? Why would they accuse us of being TDS? I was just looking at my friend John's timeline, and he posted about the whole Epstein-Trump dilemma. And he posted a cartoon that said Trump supporters, and that they could go two ways. The way on the left says, admit you're wrong. The way on the right says, support pedophiles. I mean, I think that that's a fair depiction of the dilemma they're faced with. But then you look at the comments and they all just rip him. They just rip him. I mean, it's just comment after comment of flat out, you know, you're evil basically. And that, you know, get out of your hate state and get that hate out of your heart. And oh my goodness, people are under a delusion. And they absolutely, and every time you bring this moral dilemma to their attention and say, hey, you know, you're acting like you have double standards right now. That's a very nice way of saying, I mean, I would probably not say it so nicely myself because I'm like up to here and beyond with all this. But admittedly, I have less patience than John. But you might have a little contradiction there, you think? They don't want to face it. They don't want to face their own moral dilemma either because they don't have morals or because they're terrified of what's on the other side. And I do want to say here, uncertainty does make people do stuff and defend stuff that they ordinarily wouldn't do or defend. Fear is a very powerful weapon. And I do believe that a lot of these people are under fear. They are terrified that if they lose Trump and that he's exposed and other people are exposed, that they lose everything. Because they have been trained to believe that he is their everything. And if they lose him, they lose everything. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible psychological grift that has happened to these people. And I'm doing my part not to be angry about it. I'm really working on that because I'm not angry about it. I mean, if anything, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to see my fellow citizens falling for this delusion and then attacking people who are trying to get justice for the kids who have had so many crimes committed against them. I mean, it's just insane. Tom said, if you change, we're also doing a Facebook Live here. Tom said, if you change Trump's name to Biden, they would rip him. Ah, that's so true. See, this is one of the contradictions that it drives me crazy. And you know, Tom, that applies to so many things, as you know, you and I have talked about so many times, is that if Biden was doing this stuff, they would just be destroying him. If Kamala Harris, if Gavin Newsom, I mean, any of their boogeymen Democrats were doing it, they would be calling for their heads. Yet when this guy does it, it's all fake news. It's all fake news. Well, I've read you a timeline here. This is not fake news. These are actual facts. They're irrefutable facts. Every single one of these things happened. They're highly documented. They're all over the place. They're on the White House pages. They're in Donald Trump's tweets. They're in the news. They're in the social media. They're everywhere. These are all That's why I am focusing on the timeline, because it's irrefutable. You cannot impeach this timeline because it is just a statement of facts. And when you listen to it in sequence, you go, oh my God, this is a massive cover-up. You can't help but see that. Someone said, if you could pinpoint the biggest smoking gun out of this timeline, what is it? Because you should share that with people. And I thought about it and I went, you know what the biggest smoking gun is? It's when Miami Herald drops this article about Epstein's sweetheart deal in Florida, and 2 weeks later, Jeff Sessions resigns, and 2 weeks later, Trump nominates William Barr, who worked at the law firm that got Epstein that sweetheart deal. That's the biggest smoking gun right there. It clearly shows that the administration was reacting to that news. They saw with that Miami Herald article, and props to Miami Herald. They should win so many awards for that investigative reporting. That type of journalism, it's a three-part series. I will post the link to it. You should read it. It is just phenomenal journalism, investigative journalism. And it is the very thing that got the Trump administration all up in their you-know-what, all up in their feelings. Where they were like, oh, shit, this thing is about to blow up in our faces. And that's when they react. That's when they get rid of Sessions. That's when they bring in the fixer Barr. The Barr, Bill Barr's been fixing stuff since back in the Bush days. Yep, he's an old neocon fixer. He comes in and fixes stuff. That's why I said earlier today in the broadcast, if you are ever to think of Bill Barr again, think of him as the fixer. He's the fixer. He's the smoother over. He came in to get this narrative under control, to get the message under control, to get the case files under control, to get Epstein himself under control, to get Maxwell under control. They did not go after Epstein because he had committed crimes. They went after Epstein under Trump to get him under control and silence him. That's when they went after him. And the timeline proves it. There's no possible way that these are all coincidences. No way. I mean, there gets to be a point where it's like, okay, these aren't coincidences anymore. Like, I'm okay with one or two coincidences, you know, But come on, man. You know, we're at the stage now where it's like, I don't know, 5,000 coincidences, Tom. You know what I'm saying? Tom said we should check on that journalist. Yeah, actually, we should do some investigative research to find out who wrote it, who contributed to it, what they're doing now, what they're writing about now, if they've had any interactions with this administration. I think that is a great lead. If you want to check it out, that would be awesome. I will also check it out. But that also might be an interesting lead to follow because that is the most explosive story. And I believe it is the one that puts the fire under the Trump administration to say, we've got to act and we've got to act on this now. And it would set in motion basically the rest of his administration, even in the middle of the pandemic. One can only imagine what it must have been like behind the scenes as they were wrestling this massive Epstein monster, this multi-tentacled, 15-headed, 29-headed beast as they're wrestling this thing with the pandemic, with the vaccines coming up, with the Russia, with the impeachments. I mean, you want to talk about a circus? My God. This is our government we're talking about here. It is a travesty. It is a complete circus and cover up and very, very corrupt cover up. Let's finish up the timeline. So massive amounts of these files have now been dropped. And as you know, in the last several days, and like many of us predicted, they're very damning. They're very, very damning. You know, many people prior to this said, oh, there's nothing in those files. That's just a distraction. You know, you're never going to find anything in those files. And me and many other people I know said, oh yeah, there's a lot in those files and we want to see what's in them. And if there's nothing to hide, then release them all. But see, they wouldn't do that. And the more they held them back, we knew that they were radioactive. We knew that. And we were right. And as a side note here, it's not just the allegations, okay? For those people who are inclined to reply, you can't prove any of those allegations. You can't prove any of those allegations are true. You are getting up on social media and misleading people into thinking that allegations from anonymous people and from probably Trump haters is true. Shame on you. No, shame on you for not reading them. Because if you read them, you would know something that a whole bunch of us know. And that is that they didn't follow up on the leads. See, so you can't say all of these leads are unsubstantiated. It's nothing but heresy and innuendo and speculation. And you're just a conspiracy theory causing problems for the president when they didn't even follow up on the leads. How would you know the leads are unsubstantiated when they didn't follow up on them? You see, we've got the receipts now. We've got the spreadsheets. We see the spreadsheets have a column in them that say status. And we see notes in that column that say junk, like left a voicemail. Left a voicemail. What are we talking about here? A sales campaign? For a treadmill? Or are we talking about a Federal Bureau of Investigation audit trail? This thing looks like it's a freaking sales campaign. Left a voicemail? Did you see what they put that to? And that, it appears more than once. This is to an allegation that somebody witnessed multiple rapes and potentially even a murder. And it says left a voicemail. Since when did the FBI just leave a voicemail? This is insane. This is an insult to anybody with a functioning brain. The FBI doesn't just leave a voicemail. If you're accused of multiple rapes and crimes and terrorism and murder, okay, they don't just leave you a voicemail. January 6ers, y'all should know that better than anybody. My God, what are we dealing with here? That the public is so naive or compromised, or just political, or just hypocritical, that they refuse to believe what's right in front of their own eyes. You really think the FBI think that these people who were calling in these tips were anonymous and they can't figure out who they are? I mean, it's comical. Of course they know who they are. You go and leave a message for the FBI on their website right now, or make a call to them and say something on there threatening, and let's see if they can figure out who you are. I give it about 30 minutes. See, but everybody knows this stuff. Everybody knows this. If it was Biden, as Tom said, it would be obvious. Everyone would be, oh, the FBI's lying. Of course they know who these people are. They chose not to follow the leads. So in a minimum, if anybody says to you, these are all unsubstantiated leads, and these are people who are just creating problems for the president, you can say you wouldn't know that because they didn't follow them. Well, why didn't they follow him? Because they didn't want to follow him. That's why. They were directed not to follow him. That's why. They could have got to the bottom of all of it. But see, that level of discovery would have opened up a whole new can of crazy and sinister evil that they want to keep a lid on. Because, as I've said before, and this was shockingly with the help of ChatGPT that actually stated this, because I was like, whoa, I hadn't even thought about this. It's not just that all of these FBI people and these government people are protecting Donald Trump or other officials and celebrities and powerful figures. They're also protecting the system that pays their bills. And I got to give ChatGPT credit for that one, because I had not even considered that. I was following along the popular narrative that the reason nobody's coming forward and the reason that they're all involved in this cover-up is because they're just protecting Donald Trump. And I always struggle with that one because I'm like, well, wait, why would Democrats protect Donald Trump, right? Why would Democrat FBI agents protect Donald Trump? Why aren't whistleblowers coming forward? And then, boom, I saw this diagnosis that I prompted ChatGPT to help me understand the bigger picture. And it said, oh yeah, they're not just protecting people, they're protecting the system. Because if they would have followed all those leads, they would have opened up that big old can of evil. And it would have exposed not just that people on the top like Richard Branson and Woody Allen and Bill Gates and all these other people are involved, including Wasserman, the Olympic Committee guy in LA. It's just, the list is long. It gets longer all the time. Bill Barr is even mentioned. Bill Barr is even mentioned as witnessing. We're getting to that one. It would have opened up a whole new level of crime and evil and darkness that they did not want to let out of the bottle. And so they kept the lid on it. And they've all participated in keeping a lid on it because they know it won't just expose the guys at the top. It will expose how corrupt the whole system is. And sadly, I'm here today to say to you that our fellow citizens who are working in the government and helping cover this up are choosing to keep their jobs over pursuing justice for child victims and truth. That is one of the most sobering conclusions of this investigation that I've done into this. They are choosing to save their jobs instead of save the children and the country. That's what we're dealing with our fellow citizens, sadly. And it is sad. I don't take any joy in saying it. So again, we have this massive, massive dump. We know now it's not a Democrat hoax. It was never a Democrat hoax. We know that it's filled with allegations. We know that it proves to us that the government did not follow these leads. They did not cast the wide. They didn't cast the net wide because they didn't want to catch a bunch of fish, because they knew a lot of those fish they were going to catch were sharks, and they knew that it would expose system-wide corruption, and it could potentially bring the entire system down and all of them with it. So they call that a firebreak, by the way. They sacrifice a few to protect the many. That's called a firebreak strategy. I did not know that until today. If you've ever heard that term firebreak strategy, then good on you. But it's a very, well-known tactic. When you have a corrupt system and you don't want a whole bunch of people exposed and you don't want to create a national security meltdown, you do what's called a firebreak. And that is, you just find a couple of scapegoats. And then you pin the whole thing on a couple of scapegoats. And in doing so, you appease the public, because the public is not seeking truth. The public is seeking closure. It's powerful stuff, man. We're in the heart and the weeds of the truth right now. The public doesn't want the truth. The public wants a boogeyman, prosecution, and closure. And the firebreak strategy gives them that. That's what our government, and yes, our fellow Americans working in the government, have chosen to do. And many of them who we think are good people are half good people, but the other half of them is evil. They're double-minded people. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're all evil. That's not my jam. I don't believe everything's evil, and I don't believe everything's a lie. I think I've been clear about that. I think the Bible tells us that people are double-minded and unstable in all their ways because they don't put their fear and their trust and their hope in the Lord. They put it in man and in the flesh. And so in that state of lukewarmness and in that state of hypocrisy, they're good on some days, they're evil on other days. And you could say the evil side of them has chosen to keep all of this under wraps and allow these criminals to go free out of fear that the entire system will come down, as will their jobs and their lives. We're looking at nothing other basically than the system protecting itself at the end of the day. So, not a Democrat hoax. We know they didn't follow the leads. And in the new file dump, we learn that very, very disturbing crimes have been committed, most likely. And that the file dumps have columns that show us that the tips were never followed on. And at a minimum, in my view, this much has been established, that no one can say anymore that these are fake news allegations and that they're totally unsubstantiated. You can't say that anymore. They haven't even been followed up on. Nobody can say that Bill Barr's hands are clean. Nobody could say it was just a coincidence that he was the AG. No. This is, they have made very intentional and deliberate moves to continue to cover up this massive crime. I can't even fathom how many tax dollars have been spent keeping this evil in the basement. Hey, by the way, whatever happened to all those bags of evidence that Cash Patel found in the basement? Remember those? Yeah. Whatever happened to Cash Patel? Whatever happened to Dan Bongino? Where are these guys? I thought they were going to release the beast. I thought we were going to see all the evil. I thought they were going to totally reveal the deep state. I don't think it's a coincidence that Dan Bongino is coming back to podcasting Monday. 3 days after the Epstein files dump. 3 days after the files dump, Dan Bongino takes the podcaster microphone again. You think that's a coincidence? That's not a coincidence. That is damage control. Just like Bill Barr was a fixer and a smoother, Dan Bongino's a fixer and a smoother. He's going to come in and smooth things out. I'll bet you any amount of money on it. And I bet you any amount of money he's going to say, y'all don't understand this. He's going to say, there's things in here too complex for you to understand. He's going to say, listen, I would love to tell you everything, but I can't. And y'all are going to have to trust me on this. This is a national security thing. I can't tell you everything, but you can trust me on this. Donald Trump is a man of law and order, and he loves you, and he loves this country. And I know he loves this country. Because I've sat in the same room as him. And I've heard how much he loves this country firsthand. And I've seen him give his... Yeah, you get the idea. It's coming. You watch. You watch February 2nd. The smoother is back. Hey, I'd love to be wrong too. By the way, Dan Bongino, if you're listening to this somehow, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love it if you came on there and actually told us what you know. That would be epic, bro. You'd be a lifetime hero. You'd be a legend, bro. You have the opportunity to be a legend on the level of Paul Revere, on the level of Thomas Paine. You could be that guy if you just spill it and just let the chips fall where they may. But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, because if there was any chance that you were going to spill the beans, you wouldn't be doing the podcast on Monday. No. There's no way they're going to allow anybody to spill the beans. And they already know who might possibly do them. And they make sure that nobody ever gets the opportunity. I think we're pretty clear on that one by now. One can only imagine what Charlie Kirk actually knew or had learned in recent weeks that had caused him to basically start biting the hand that had fed him for so long. Do I think he's still alive? No, I don't think he's alive. I think he was assassinated. I think he was either assassinated right in front of our face, or there was some other sort of operation that I'm not even going to get into the details, because it's all speculation. But it happened after that scene, maybe in the car or on the way over there after that. I don't know. I don't think he's with us anymore. No, I don't think he's in witness protection. I don't think he's alive. I think he was a liability. And I think they eliminate liabilities. And I think you're going to see more eliminations. Depopulations, if you will. I think anybody who has the information that could expose this is under 24/7 watch right now. And they've got their hands on him. And they're either spoiling them rotten, they're giving them awards, they're sending them money, they're sending them PPP loans. Oops, did I say that? How far down the rabbit hole should we go, Tom? They're doing something to keep them placated, to keep them cozy and comfortable, so they don't F around and start spilling beans. That's what I think. I think they know everybody who can spill the beans, and hands and sight are on them. But anyways, so at a minimum, no more of this unsubstantiated allegations. They're unsubstantiated because the government refused to substantiate them, okay? That's why they're unsubstantiated. How about this? If they have nothing to hide, how about launching a independent investigation. Get somebody like Robert Mueller or, I don't know, one of these other investigative types. I don't even care what side of the aisles he's on. But somebody who goes through the motions and actually follows these leads and actually reports on the leads they're following and actually finds out if these are legitimate leads or not. At a minimum, let them go through all the leads and follow them to their end and let's see what we learn. Because I guarantee it's going to be a completely different outcome of what the FBI learned. Because the FBI didn't learn anything by choice. FBI said, la, 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 la. Every time somebody tried to talk to the FBI, they said, la, 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 I can't, what? I can't hear you. That's what happened to that. They didn't want to hear. And they still don't want to hear, just as their followers are the same way. La, 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 la. So I have a new song called All the Red Flags. And in this song, there's a section in it where it's like, la, 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 la. And it's mimicking this. I just thought about that. It's mimicking people who don't want to hear the facts. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear other people's perspectives. So they basically just put their hands over their ears and say, la, 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 la. And the song is like, all the red flags were right in front of us. They were right in front of our face. We saw. They even said, I'm a snake. They even admitted it right to our face. I'm a snake. They even told us, I'm a snake. I'm a scorpion. I can't be trusted. Yet we trusted them anyway. All the red flags right in front of our face. But we la, 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 la. Yeah. And that's what keeps happening. It's the la, la, la and the people in la, la land that are preventing criminals from being brought to justice. So given all the research I've done, given this timeline, again, the most probable case here is that Epstein crimes have been covered up mainly by Republican and Democrat operatives in and out of the DOJ, state level, national level, international level, influencers, yes, double agents, inside agents. Sure, it's a massive, massive operation, and it spans both parties and beyond, and they're all involved in this cover-up. And again, the most probable reason is because they're simply not just protecting the people at the top, they're protecting their livelihoods. Sad but true. Therefore, I have no other choice but to conclude that the people at the very top will not be brought to justice ever unless someone else outside of their circle, and I mean outside the system circle, can get control of the narrative, the messaging, and of course the case itself. That's the only way it could ever happen. And I want to say this. If Mr. Trump was serious about getting to the bottom of this, and he was serious about justice, and I know it's probably just absurd even hearing these words from me, but if he was, I'm saying, for those of people who are still doubting this, if he was serious about it, he absolutely would launch a major investigation into it. He would have them following every lead. That is not what he's doing. He's never, ever shown an interest in getting to the bottom of it. And you can be assured of that when he's sending his fixer, his personal defense attorney, to go meet with Maxwell and not video recording the conversation, okay? They're not trying to get down to the bottom of the truth. They're trying to protect the truth from ever getting out of the bottom where they are holding it captive. But here's the thing about the truth. And I'll tell you, it's the thing that at the end of the day, every day, this gives me so much solace. It gives me so much contentment of heart and peace in my soul. And that is that God is truth. God is justice. God is all powerful. And regardless of how powerful Satan is, and regardless of how many people that he has under him who are working together to suppress truth, the scripture says in Romans 1:18, those who suppress the truth are under God's wrath, and they will suffer severely for what they've done. God is the one who has decided that at this point in time, he's not going to expose all the people who are involved in this. And I have a friend who sent me a message today, and I just thought of it, and I want to repeat it here. because it is so powerful, yet it is so simple, but it is so important to understand. She said, he's got everything in his hands. My friends, those are words to live by. He's got the whole world in his hands. He has sovereign dominion over his own creation. Satan's leash is only so long. Satan literally has to seek permission from God to do anything. Go back and read the book of Job today if you question that. God has the final say. I'll never forget one time I was I went to a Bible study at my church, and afterwards I walked up to the instructor and said, this was at a time very early in my walk, so this is like back in, I want to say 2009, and I walked up to the instructor afterward and said, why does God allow Satan to do so much evil? Or I think I said, why does Satan get away with doing so much evil? And she said, well, understand this, that absolutely nothing happens in this world unless it passes through God's permissive will. I have never forgotten that. Those two words, permissive will, have stuck with me, and I think about them every day of my life. Everything has to pass over God's desk. Nothing goes around it. He has to allow these things to happen. Nothing happens outside of his purview. Nobody gets to go around God. Nobody gets to go behind his back. Nobody gets to go over him. Nobody gets to go under him. You have to go through him every single time. Everything in the universe has to go through him. Why? Because he's God. It's his creation. He has complete sovereign dominion over it. That means Satan does not have the power or the sovereignty to create delusion so vast and so wide and so powerful that they would deceive everybody. There's no possible way God would ever allow him to do that. Nor would God ever allow Satan to have these unified bodies of power that just have unlimited power to put absolutely every single politician, every single leader, and every single authority under their power, and then pull off this, you know, highly directed, you know, theatrical production. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says God is in control. He says the plan of men come to nothing. Every single time man digs a hole for someone else, they fall into their own hole. Over and over, we're told none of their plans come to fruition. We have an entire Bible showing us every time they come up with a plan, boom, God crushes it again. Every single time, including the Tower of Babel. It's the same thing. They didn't finish it. They got about halfway and God was like, boom, everything. Look at your own life. Look at your own life. How many of your plans succeed? I always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Yeah, evil. These people, I'm telling you, they're not as powerful as you may think they are. God is all powerful. And I think we need to get back to that. God is all powerful. He's got the whole world in his hands. He has the last say about everything. And if God sees it fit to release these names and let us know who did these crimes, he will. He absolutely will. There is nothing anywhere that guarantees that these names are going to stay sealed. And people keep saying that, oh, we're never, ever, ever, ever going to find out. Where does it say that in the Bible? Because you're doubting God. You're saying that God can't just go bloop and just knock this whole tower down. You know, it seems like a super, super complex, and I'm counseling myself here too, because I fall into this temptation as well. It looks like it's such a complex tower, this matrix tower, and it's got so many tentacles, and like I said, it's just got multiple heads, and it seems like it's just an insurmountable beast, this mountain that can never be moved, and we're all like, oh my God, it's just all over. God could just be like, bam, and the whole thing could just boom. I'm sure they thought that the Tower of Babel was never going to come down also. God is all powerful. And that's the one thing I wanted to witness and testify to you again today, that God is all powerful. And you know what? He is still in control. And God is good. God is good all the time. I had somebody tell me today that we're living in hell. And I said, it doesn't say that in the Bible. We're not living in hell. The Bible says there will be suffering. The Bible says there will be trials. But the Bible also says there will be beauty. The Bible also says there will be love. There'll be love between a man and a woman. There'll be marriage. There'll be weddings. There'll be banquets. Did you witness the banquet that Jesus attended at the beginning of his ministry? There'll be beautiful banquets. There'll be weddings. We'll gather together in the house of the Lord and we'll worship him together. And we'll sing songs. And we'll sing psalms. And we'll glorify him together. And we'll socialize. And we'll share our love for the Lord. And we'll have babies. And our babies will love us. And we'll raise them in the ways of the Lord. And they'll glorify the Lord. And we'll have meaningful work. We'll have harvest work that the Lord says will be so gratifying and be so fulfilling as we glorify him. We have all these blessings everywhere if you have the eyes to see them. If you have the eyes to see them, you will see God's beauty everywhere. Yes, you will see suffering. But again, you will see both. You will see good. You will see evil. You will see ugly, spiritually ugly. You will see spiritually beautiful. You will see right. You will see wrong. Why? Because that's how God designed everything. It's not all one way or the other. It's both ways. And God wants to bless you with the power of discernment, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you to discern what is good and evil and what is right and wrong and what is black and what is white. He wants you to discern those things with the mind that he's given you and with the mind of his Holy Spirit power and through the counsel of his Holy Spirit, which is the literal Spirit of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be empowered to work and to find meaningful work. And that's why the whole AI takeover thing is so upsetting to me, because God is the one that has designed the meaningful work for us to do, to serve each other. And now they're putting all these machines in these jobs that God has developed for us to serve each other. It's frustrating and it's maddening that these people are so cold and callous, but I'll leave that for another time. Deirdre said, oh, great. We're listening to Bible study now. Stand up for the truth. Filling the place with life, we don't. We don't have to be terrorized with darkness. I don't know. So I'm so used to sarcasm online that I don't know if you're being sincere there when you say, oh, great, we're listening to Bible study now. If that rubs your spirit wrong, well, then I feel sorry for you, because there's the study of the Bible is the literal food and nourishment for your soul. But if you mean something else and you're being sincere, then God love you. Hey, I'm alive here. I have a personal gun against me. I'll leave it like that. You have a personal gun against you? That, I got to tell you, that sounds like AI bot. If you go to the, have you been to the Moulton book page yet? Oh my God. There's thousands of AI bots anonymously posting insane messages. You should go there and read it. Molt book. I'm 100% serious, man. I'm close to being a 50-year-old Christian. Just check my profile. I released the truth of what you're talking about. I'm the biggest gun in the house. You don't know how many guns are pointing at me, and they can't take me down. Praise Lord. Praise Lord. Praise. Oh, you're talking about flaming arrows. Sorry, I was looking for biblical terms. Are you talking about flaming arrows that are pointed at you? I noticed you did have a lot of followers, and I saw some of your posts, and I really liked them. So just to let you know, I was like, wow, this person walking in truth right here. So that just threw me off when you said there's a gun pointed at you. But if you're saying flaming arrows that Satan's shooting at you, then hey, I'm with you, and you're not alone. Many, many of us are being shot nonstop. But here's the good news. As you said, as you alluded to, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? Isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that empowering? Isn't that comforting to know that there is absolutely nothing, nowhere that can take us down when God's got us? Flaming arrows are just okay doors at the enemy. We're talking with Ephesians. Those are like things I'm talking in the administration, the guns with FBI. What narcissism does, they use every agency known to demand the banks. Yes. Oh, I see more what you're saying. You're talking about government big guns. You're saying the government doesn't like what you're saying. And therefore, all the power of the federal government is being aimed at people who are seeking after the truth. Is that kind of what you're getting at? Just so I understand a little better. I think I know what you're saying there. But yeah, the flaming arrows of the enemy, those are the worst weapons of all. Okay, I'll say one post. When the Denmark, how long ago was that, over a month, had the post that they, Trump's picture, I grabbed that with a song, Who Let the Dogs Out, and everybody came out of the woodwork on that one. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that you had a post that reached a lot of people. I mean, that's so important. You know, people, they say, oh, why are you trying to reach a lot of people? Because I was commanded to. I want to reach as many people as possible. The scripture says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. I'm going after the plenty harvest. I mean, that's what I've been called to do. And I love it when my friends go viral. I love when they have viral posts. I love when people come out of the woodwork too, because they get to hear the truth. So yeah, it can be a little unsettling. And boy, I've had a lot of that too. But at the end of the day, I'm happy. And that's it. My Facebook just cut out. Because my battery died. I forgot to plug it in. But here's the good news. Spiritual battery ain't dead, and yours won't be dead either if you put your faith in the Lord. And remember this, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I am MJ, and this is Breaking Free with MJ. And my new song on Worldwide, spelled with two U's at the begin, Worldwide, is All the Red Flags. And I hope you check it out. And I hope you have a blessed day. We'll see you next time on Breaking Free with MJ.